Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Moltec Packaging Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Nirmal Bang Equities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Navalgund from Nirmal Bang Equities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Anju. Hello, everyone. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, I welcome you all to Moltec Packaging Limited 1Q FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us Mr. Lakshman Rao, the Chairman and Managing Director of the company, along with the entire finance team at Moltec. Without further ado, I would request Lakshman sir to start with his opening comments, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Dear all participants, thank you very much for your interest in our quarterly results conference. I'm very glad to inform you that all segments have done wonderful in this quarter, reaching some historical volumes and that enabled us to achieve 50% volume growth in sales, and PAT is up by 80%. This is, though it is compared with the COVID-affected last year quarter, even compared to the figures of 2018-2019 and 2019-2020, these numbers have been substantially better. The overall top line is more than 207 crores as against 133 crores last year in terms of rupee terms. That is up by 55%. But even in the volume terms, numbers have gone up less than 6,000 tons in Q1 last year to more than 9,000 tons. This is the first time in the history of a company in a quarter we achieved more than 9,000 tons. The previous figure is less than 8,000 tons, or around 8,000 tons. This year, 8,400 was the highest in the Q4, and we achieved 9,040 tons of sales and 9,150 tons of production, which is historical high in our company's performance. This has become possible because of huge increase in demand in our food and FMCG as expected. Also one surprising element is lubricants business also grew up very much in this quarter, due to new brand of DEF, brand of lubes being introduced in the country. It's been introduced a year ago, but more and more numbers have been accumulated towards Moltec in the last few months, and that resulted in a big jump in sales for lubricant industry as well. Going forward, another new announcement or new decision taken by the company is to set up a second plant at Daman, because the Daman plant is now full and there were some issues of getting additional construction permits due to the huge highway we have in front of our factory. Moltec company has decided to set up a new plant in a new land, and very soon we'll be going ahead with the plan there, because a lot of clients in the western region belong to food and FMCG are expecting us to be nearer to them in the west. It also makes both commercial and transportation sense to be closer to the clients. The board has decided to set up a plant, a second plant in Daman, during the financial year itself, or probably it will spill into the beginning of next financial year. That is a new announcement in terms of our CapEx. Other capacity plans that were announced at the time of QIP are going on well in time. The major plant of IBM products, injection blow molded products coming up at Sultanpur will be operational in the beginning of next year. Our pilot plant to produce OTC products and even sampling of pharma products would be starting in September or October of this year itself. I'm also glad to inform you for the entire pilot plant capacity, we have received orders from one of the major FMCG companies in the country for a OTC product, which will completely occupy the capacity of the IBM pilot project. This has been confirmed and the molds are now under development. I'm also glad to inform you that the FMCG companies are now on the back on track to develop new products in IML, which they almost suspended for last 2 years of COVID impact. Now they are opening up the doors, and at least 3 projects are confirmed to go ahead, and another fourth product project is being decided in this next few weeks. So that way the food and FMCG new brand development is also started, which has been kind of suspended for the last 2 years, which might augur well for us in our IML food and FMCG segments. So other projects are all on time, going on as per plans, and we hope to achieve our ambitious target in this year. And also one major announcement is, as expected, at the time of QIP, we mentioned to you that 250 crores of capex is planned for the next 2.5 to 3 years. And this year itself, the company has laid out plans to invest 125 crores, plus or minus 5%, to enhance various capacities, set up new plant at Daman, maybe start new plant construction at Kanpur, and complete the mainly the Sultanpur pharma project, at least the buildings and the main machinery would be completed. And we are doubling our IML label printing capacity, and steps have been taken to make sure that's also in the, on the anvil before the next season starts in January. And we also doubled, almost doubled, if not doubled, the tool room capacity, where we used to make 4 to 5 molds a month. It will be enhanced to 7 to 8 molds a month starting by January 23. So these plans are all keeping us very busy, but we foresee that this kind of investments are required to meet the growing demand for our products. So now I leave the floor open for question and answers. Back to the coordinator.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investments. Please go ahead.
Jay Lakshman Rao ji, thank you very much for nice result. Sir, you are super genius. One, my request, kindly preserve money for expansion and capex and do not give big dividend, because the equity raising cost is too much high in compared to giving the dividend. You have raised the equity by QIB, and that is our costlier impact on the company, and company need and shareholder need to pay taxes on that. So our request, please preserve the money for capex expansion for the, in the company. And sir, how now much will be net profit is quarter one due to increase in raw material? How much will be net profit rise due to raw material increase or finished cost increase in quarter one?
See, as I always told you, raw material price increase or decrease will have only marginal impact on our profitability, because right, we pass on the raw material impact on a monthly basis or on a quarterly basis to our clients. So whatever is in the Q4 raw material average price will be applied while invoicing in the Q1 of this year. Sometimes April pricing is applied in May, May pricing is applied to June, depending upon the client relations. Major clients, it is quarterly, but small and medium-sized clients, it's on a monthly basis. But whenever the price of raw material is going up, we will be bearing for a couple of months or for a month or two, we'll be bearing the cost impact. Similarly, when the raw material prices are coming down, we will enjoy the price advantage for a couple of months before passing on to the clients. So I wouldn't consider that as a big impact. Maybe on average 1 to 2 rupees per kg would be the impact while going up. Similarly, 1 to 2 rupees advantage when the price is coming down. But this time, the swing being very high, like raw material price went up from almost 119 rupees in December or 116 in January to almost 139 in April. And then it is now on the downtrend. Last 2 months from 133 in April, it's now around 121, even 118 rupees now in July. So In a downward cycle, we will be gaining couple of rupees more in the EBITDA. In a upward cycle, we will be losing couple of rupees on the EBITDA.
Right. Okay. And one, my request, please consider do not raise equity always.
We'll take your advice, but we also have our own thought process behind.
Yes. Thank you very much. Okay. All the best, Ash.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Omkar Hadkar from Mirabilis Investment Trust. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on a very good quarter. Sir, my question was on first on the lube segment. I missed your comment. You mentioned some new brand has been introduced. If you can share any, if it is from an existing plant or any new plant has been introduced. And secondly, I saw in your list of plants, the PSU also in the lube segment. Just wanted to know how is their uptake and how much proportion do they contribute to our lube segment?
Your first question is not clear, Mr. Omkar. Regarding the PSU, they have started picking up volumes. BPCL is the only company where we have some reasonable numbers. But apart from PSUs, ExxonMobil and generally all the DEF brands are causing growth in the lube sector. What is your first question?
Yeah, my first question was you mentioned some new brand has been introduced in the lube side. So,
that is a DEF. That is a new brand of lubricant companies have introduced about a year ago. And their numbers are shooting up due to various advantages that lube has against ordinary lubricants, especially for some diesel engines and CNG engines. So that numbers have contributed handsomely in this quarter. We gained major numbers from Gulf and Valvoline and Shell. These three major companies have adopted out this, and that is one of the reasons why there is a shoot up in the lubes sales.
Okay. And what about in terms of the sustainability of these volumes of this new segment? Do you foresee this to be a recurring feature?
Your voice is not very clear. I mean, can you speak?
Sorry, I don't think. What do you foresee in terms of the sustainability of these volumes from this new segment or this new product? Do you think this will continue going forward?
Yes. Yeah, obviously it will continue. There may be a little dip in the monsoon months for lubricants. But once the brands are there in the market for some particular range of engines, as long as the engines are there, these lubes are required.
Understood, sir. So my second question is on the IBM side, you have mentioned there is a pilot project that has been growing. Is it a sizable project? Because, you have mentioned you're putting up a capacity for 2,000 tons. But this pilot project, is it kind of a sizable project or is it a small one to begin with?
No. The pilot project is with a 4-machine project, having capacity to produce about 4 to 5 crore bottles per annum. And we now have almost 4 to 5 crores commitment from one of the OTC products. So the value-wise, that will be in the region of 8 to 10 crores. So it is not very small, but at the same time, it is not a huge pilot project. From this, the next major project at Sultanpur will be having about 4 times capacity to start with. But it can be expanded by adding more and more machines. So the first pilot project of close to 500 tons per annum would be completely operational from October onwards. That is about 40 tons per month. But that's our first beginning into IBM, and it's a good beginning because right from the day one, we'll have almost 80 to 90% capacity occupied. And this will give us an opportunity to showcase our abilities in IBM to our existing clients as well as new pharma clients. And hopefully, but as I explained all the time, pharma will start contributing numbers only from the year 23-24 because it has a long gestation period for clearances, stability tests, and other products. However, other processes. But however, we'll continue to take opportunities in food and FMCG and OTC costs of medicines packaging because there the compliances and time taken is much shorter.
Okay. And sir, my one final question is on the you have not mentioned in your presentation also, neither on my comments. What is happening on the pump side? I mean, you had set up the capacities, but the uptake was not as per our expectations. So what is happening there?
Yeah, pump side, we continue to have average performance only. About 1.5 to 2 million pumps, as against a capacity of about 6 to 7 million, is being engaged. As I told in the last commentary of last quarter also, the beauty of one good thing about this pump division is all the 6 machines that are kept for pump manufacturing can also be used for all our thin wall products. So we are not keeping any of the machines idle. Only part of the investment on the molds, which are meant for pumps, are only partially utilized to the extent of 20% capacity utilization. As I explained, Wipro, who has committed us 2.5 to 3 million pieces per month, is presently picking up hardly 700 to 800,000, that's 7 to 8 lakh pieces a month. And until they set up their plant in Hyderabad, which is postponed to end of this year, their volumes won't pick up. But we are still trying. We are adding small clients here and there. And even export opportunity in Malaysian Wipro, we are exploring. So we hope that at least next year it will be above 50% capacity utilization.
Okay. Sir, I'll come back if I have more questions. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bhargav Buddhadev from Kotak Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in the press release, there is a mention about a few major FMCG and food companies opening up the new IML product development activities. Can you elaborate a bit on this statement made in the press release?
Yeah, see, companies like HUL, GSK, Procter & Gamble.
So we can't hear you, actually.
So can you hear me?
Yeah.
Companies like HUL, PNG, GSK, Arun Ice Cream, Amul, all these companies were generally out of developing any new concepts of packaging in the last 2 years because of COVID and uncertainties in the market. So now we have seen that in the last 3-4 months, some of them have started releasing their clearances to go ahead with the new product development with IML. And in fact, 3 projects are under almost getting ready by September, October. One is almost ready. Others maybe in the end of September will be going commercial. Maybe in October it will start commercial supplies. And fourth one is at the final stage. That is with, again, one more MNC. And that may be decided any time now. So with these 4 projects, which I mentioned in the Q4 results as a possibility, but now they're all confirmed and they will be contributing in a full year about 40 crores in the food and FMCG segment. But this year, probably around 20-25 crores we can expect in the remaining 6-7 months of the year. These projects clearance have been obtained and mold development is going on and we hope to start supplies some in September and some in October and November onwards.
Okay. Secondly, sir, any update on the QR coded IML venture which we were sort of being very optimistic on?
Sorry, what is that?
Is there any update on the QR coded IML piece where we were excited?
Yeah. On the QR coded IML, now tomorrow, actually today, our team is with the Shell, Bharat Shell. Shell and Valvoline and Gulf are advanced stage and probably one of them would be introducing very soon is our guess. Castrol is on the little backseat. They are still not allowing people, outsiders, to come into their plants for trials and setting up systems. But these 3 companies are open and hopefully we'll have a breakthrough during this quarter.
And no breakthrough with any of these paint companies, right, as of now?
As of now, actually, we are not only increasing our capacities at Mysore and Vizag for meeting Asian Paints' increasing demand, but also we are in talks with Berger and also another new paint company for creating additional capacities for them in the north. So if those things happen, the paint industry will continue to give us a good growth. In this quarter, we have seen 43% growth over the Q1 of last year. But Q1 of last year being not a great year, it is still amounts to more than 10 to 12% growth in a normal year. And this is expected to increase because Asian Paints has asked us to keep our capacities ready from July, August onwards. And we are almost there, and we hope the numbers of Asian Paint plants at Vizag and Mysore to better perform better starting from August because of the festival season is starting. And paint sales peak in October, November during Diwali. So generally, companies start building up stocks from August onwards.
And so just one clarification. So in the last call, you had mentioned that there is a pipeline of 40 crores additional revenue in food and FMCG. So this particular statement which you gave out of HUL, PNG, Arun and Amul looking at developing new packaging, is that the same part of the 40 crores of revenue which you were expecting this year additional?
Yeah, they are the same. Now they are confirmed, and one additional product is also added, which is under finalization now.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you for the clarification and all the way.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Hassan Muchale from Liberty Research and Investments. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on a very good set of numbers. I just wanted to understand the perspective on the export business. So how much percentage of total revenue denotes to export business? And with this easing out in freight costs and container issues, are we seeing a substantial increase in export business?
See, export business is looking up, but the freight cost has still not come to the normal level. What used to be about 1 lakh rupees, let us say, for Dubai or Middle East, is even now at around 1.8 lakhs for a 40-foot container, which used to be almost, which went up to even 3 lakhs per container. So it is hardly around 1.5 crore in this quarter. But going forward, we have two, three major inquiries and sample submissions for actually in the exports to USA for the restaurant packs, for the street box packs, and even for this idli and what is that called? Dough. For dough packing. So these trial orders have been just supplied in the month of June, July. And we hope those numbers will increase considerably in the coming quarters. But we don't expect volumes to shoot up beyond 10, 12 crores per annum because of the limitations of the freight.
Okay. Another, the question is linked to this only. Do you see any major impact of potential recession in Eurozone and the US? Or what you call it, the mild recession?
See, as of today, we are dependent only on Indian markets and Indian growth story. And as it is, our demand growth is coming mainly from replacement demand, replacement of either glass or sachets or even thin containers which are getting banned because of their thickness being very low. Containers which are used for curds, one-time use containers, are really getting banned. So more and more companies are shifting towards IML containers where we offer the economy but not as cheap as sachets or those thermoformed cups. But because of this ban on such items, more and more companies are looking at IML packs. If that happens, we can certainly see the IML growth to be robust for next couple of years also.
The second question is, which are our key raw materials and the sourcing country? So do we see any supply chain disruption going ahead?
Our main raw material is polypropylene copolymer. Reliance is our major supplier. Few particular grades which are required for, you know, very thin wall molding, we import from Dubai and Saudi. very little quantities, less than 5%.
Okay. So rest is domestically procured?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And wish you very best of luck for future quarters ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Akshay Kotari from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
In the starting of the call, what would be our volume growth this quarter?
This quarter, the volume growth compared to the previous quarter was 51%.
Okay.
Compared to Q4, it is around 8%.
Okay.
Q4 of last year.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Hitesh Tunk from ICICI Direct. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Congratulations on the good set of numbers, sir. What kind of capacity addition are we looking for FY23 and by the capex of 125 crore overall? Earlier, we had around 44,000 odd metric tons of capacity, right, by the end of FY22.
Yeah, we hope the capacity will be expanded to 54,000 tons with this addition, because part of the capex is going towards enhancing our tool room, enhancing our label printing and die cutting, and also adding new land at Daman also. So, however, the capacity will go up from 44,000 to 54,000 by end of this FY.
Okay. And sir, about this, we have clocked nearly 9,000 metric tons of capacity for this quarter. This is one of the highest. So, can we take kind of this kind of volume going forward for the rest of the year? Or you see kind of blip in between because of lower demand, you know, in the FMCG or any other segments?
See, typically the Q1 and Q4 are best quarters in Moltec, because Q2, the monsoon starts heavily, which disrupts transportation and thereby in general consumption patterns, and also some of the frozen fruits and ice cream consumptions come down. But again from Q3, the festival starts, festival season. So sometimes if the demand is too good, people start picking up in Q2 itself, especially paints. But Q3 will be generally reasonably just around above average. And Q4 will be a really strong finish again, because all the public sector and also some of the companies wish to close on a brighter note when the consumption goes up as the summer starts arriving in Feb-March. So typically Q1 and Q4 would be really good in terms of volume growth. So we hope it will average at around 9,000 per quarter.
Okay, great. And so my next question, will be on the gross margin front. On a per kg basis, we have improved on a Q1Q basis. Despite having a significant growth in the FMCG business and the customer additions, is it a kind of level do we maintain going forward, or do we see kind of improvement in this EBITDA per kg going forward?
See, as I explained in my first question, answer to my first question, the raw material prices are now started coming down from May onwards. June also better. July it's come down considerably. And if the same trend goes for next couple of months, the EBITDA margins will improve, because as I said, there is a lag effect of about 2 to 3 months. So whatever is, while the prices are going up, we end up supporting our clients, because whatever material we purchase in that month, we will be still pricing 2 months behind. Similarly, for going forward, when the price is coming down, we will be able to command the same price levels for a couple of months, which is now happening. So hopefully it will at least stay around 42, 43 if things go as per our plans, if not worse. Last year we ended up with 41.8 for the 12 months. So this year probably we can aim around 43.
Okay. Okay. And sir, can you give us the volume breakup for segment-wise, sir? And revenue also, if possible.
Yeah. The volume breakup, paints is around 49%. Sorry, in the terms of kgs. Paint is 53%, lube is 29%, food and QPAC together is around 18.2.
Volume, sir, right?
It is the volume.
About value, sir?
In the value, paint is 49%, lube is 26.5%, and 25.5% is food and QPAC.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks for the answering. I'll come in the queue if I have more questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rahul Maheshwari from Ambit AMC. Please go ahead, sir. Mr. Rahul, please go ahead with your question.
Am I audible now?
Yeah, now you're audible.
Excellent set of numbers, sir. Just two questions. Can you give just now in the previous question you answered about the how lag is the pass-through that takes place? So can you give it an example like HUL, which is one of your FMCG customer? So, whenever they order for the next repeated purchase, what is the pricing that is getting passed on? Or, sometimes when the prices are going up, how much hit do you take and how much price frequency, time frequency you pass it on? That is the first question. Irrespective of FMCG.
There's a break in your voice, Rahul. Yes.
Can you tell the time frequency of passing on to the price?
Yeah. Most of the clients, it is quarterly or monthly. That means some clients like HUL also is quarterly. Yeah, Asian Paints is quarterly. Arun is monthly. So like that, Amul is monthly. So we have different arrangements with the different clients. And whatever is the price of, let's say, April 1st, will be applicable for 1 month clients in May. And for 3 months clients, whatever is the average of January, February, March will be applicable for April, May, June. So that is how we have agreements with several clients. Small and medium clients, we don't pass on this kind of thing. We generally tend to take the immediate price rise. So there, we don't lose anything when prices are going up. But many of our clients, let's say, who contribute to 90% of our sale, they are under either 1 month or 3 month average. So, for example, if January, February, March average price is around 125 rupees, in the month of March, it went up to 140. So whatever material we buy, even at 140, we supply to them at 125. But same count, the average of January, February, March is 125. April, May, June is, let's say, 120. We continue to charge them 125 only for 3 months. And next 3 months, now that is July, August, September, now the prices are around 115, 112. So let's say these 3 months, the price goes at 112, but we'll still be charging them at 120, which is the average of April, May, June. So that way, when a downward trend, we gain. In an upward trend, we lose a bit. So similarly, it will get nullified over a period of time. I hope you understand the.
Yeah. And which are the segments where on a monthly basis it has been passed? As you told, for quarterly is for paints, HUL, etc. But for monthly, which are the segments?
No, not for paints. For some clients in the paint segment. For Nerolac, Berger, Akzo Nobel, they're still under 1 month only. Only for Asian Paints, it's quarterly. In the other FMCG, HUL is quarterly. Cadbury is quarterly. But other clients like Arun and Amul, it is monthly. So it is different depending upon their purchase formula and our comfort with them. So we offer either 1 month or 3 month average.
As you said, sir, in the injection blow molding, already you have received a OTC order from the FMCG company. So in case if that the capacity gets utilized in the next 2-3 quarters itself, in case you have to do brownfield expansion, what further CapEx that will be required? Because as we are seeing the kind of inquiries, as you said, in every year or 9 month time period, you might go for a capex in few of the plants wherever it is being required. So can you throw some light on the capex part, brownfield, how much it can be required?
Yeah, now Sultanpur project, which is basically we have major extra investment is on the land and building, mainly building, because it requires a pharmaceutical qualification of hygiene and cleanliness. That plant will be ready by November, December, there or max by January. And there we will be starting not only pharmaceutical IBM products, but also cosmetics, OTC counter products. For example, I'm telling it's not that we have orders. For example, Ponds, Vaseline, Amultanjan, Gendo Balm, all these products are nowadays coming in IBM. Earlier, the technology used was EBM. EBM means extrusion blow molding, which is a cheap technology and the product finish is always compromised. In IBM, you get the beauty of injection molding and accuracy of injection molding at the same time, low weight and reasonable pricing of blow molding. So with this technology getting more and more prevalent, we have decided to enter into IBM last year. And this pilot plant is getting filled with one order itself. But again in Sultanpur by end of December or January, we'll be adding another 8 machines. So if the 4 machines are now getting busy, 8 more machines will be added. And the Sultanpur plant is built to house up to 20-25 machines. The beauty of our packaging line is we can always adopt and change gears from one to other. Like say, from pharmaceutical, even the capacities are created for pharma, and if the pharma companies are taking longer time to give us clearances, instead of keeping the machines idle, we can run cosmetic products on it or OTC medicine products on it or even food IBM products on it. You understand?
So
as and when the pharma line of demand increases, we convert the whole thing into pharma and set up an additional area or special machinery for cosmetics and other products. Thereby, we'll be effectively utilizing the capacity rather than create capacity and idle that for longer periods.
Okay, but except Sultanpur, none other facility are fungible, as you mentioned, which can shift from pharma to cosmetics or etc.
See, even in injection molding, all the machines are fungible. Only molds become unique. So, and typically in a project cost of 20 crores, mold will be hardly 10 to 12 crores. Even in the pumps case, which the other gentleman was asking, in the overall project of 12 crores, molds were around 2 crores. So, 10 to 15% of the cost is not so fungible, whereas the remaining 85% of the project, including land, building and machinery and auxiliaries, they're all fungible.
And just last question, if as a blended EBITDA per kg, it's on a rise, but can you give the difference between the paint versus the food and FMCG? Not an absolute number, but how much difference can be there?
Yeah, I can't give absolute number for our own business reasons.
In percentage, paint, if you can mention.
Yeah, I'll just give you a rough idea. In paint and loops, if the range is somewhere around 30 to 40, but depending upon the clients and depending upon their volumes. Food and FMCG is somewhere around 80 to 90. And in IBM, ordinary products, it is again in the same range, 80 to 100. But in pharmaceutical IBM, the range could be as high as 180 to 200 rupees per kg.
Okay. And this digital IML, how much it can add to? I know it's into the trial phase for paints or lubricants. But how much more it can add a value to the EBITDA per kg?
See, actually we are waiting for the critical client entry into this because a QR code is still not fully understood by even big companies in our company. Some of them which understood have to go through not only changes and modifications on their filling lines, but also they have to add on their websites and ERP some additional software features to effectively get the benefits of QR code. So they not only need clearances from their production side, but also from their IT and marketing functions. That is what is taking longer time. But all of them are excited about the prospect and the benefits what it derives. But, you know, till last year or beginning of this year, it was COVID. And now from now, one by one, people are coming forward and opening up to their idea. And I'm sure once it happens, probably, now I don't want to give a time, but wherever it happens, it will certainly lead to a lot of companies shifting to QR code because of the sheer benefits it offers.
How much accretion it can happen in case if it goes from a normal IML to digital IML?
See, I'm more than happy even if 10 to 20% accretion comes through the QR code. But timelines, I don't want to guess now because, as somebody commented, we have been thinking that will be a game changer. But time-wise, I don't want to guess. But once it is getting adapted in a in few big companies, it will certainly move faster.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. Best wishes.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Akhil Parekh from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Many congratulations on an excellent set of numbers. So my first question is on the food and FMCG segment. If I look at last 3 years, right, our contribution from FNF is in range of 23 to 25%. So, are there any specific challenges in FNF business where we couldn't get a sizable or scalable client the way we have done in paints, right? Like, for example, Asian Paints is like 25% of our total sales. Is it something has to do with the industry, or are there any specific challenges why we couldn't scale up in FNF in last 3 years?
No, we are growing rapidly in food and FMCG. Last year it was 52% growth, and this quarter it is 54% Q1 on Q1. But anyway, this quarter is not a correct quarter to judge because of the previous year impact. But in the, even the last 12 months ending March, we ended up with 52% growth in the food and FMCG. One reason why the overall number look only grown by around 25% last year was the drop in our Q-pack sales, that is edible oil sales. Edible oil packs have come down considerably last year because that industry has faced tremendous price increase in their basic material, that is crude oil, palm oil or whatever they import. And that has been really eased out in the last month. So we see the edible oil companies which have discontinued our spare packs to save costs are coming back to the back to our packs because the looks of the pack and the branding has been established in the market, but they are forced to withdraw because of pure cost considerations. And now that the crude palm oil prices have fallen drastically, they are again looking back at our packs, and I hope in this festive season, the Q-pack numbers will shoot up. One good thing here to note is, while our Q-pack numbers for last full year, it was around 40 crore, were contributed 85% by edible oil. This year, they are less than 35%. So, new applications of square packs or Q-packs, we call them, are increasing. Let it be protein powder, detergent, or tea, or recently cashew nuts, and various other food products, even sweets, they are adopting. Even some of the agro products, nutrients, micronutrients, aquaculture food, that is getting packed in our square packs because they give excellent tamper-evident features and a very easy-to-remove pack. At the same time, excellent tamper evidence. So, many other applications are entered out of this current year in the first quarter, though we did around 10 crores. Out of that, almost 7.5 to 8 crores is from other applications than edible oil. Earlier, edible oil used to be 75%. Other applications are hardly 20%. So, more and more products are adopting our Q-packs. And once edible oil industry stabilizes, this number also can shoot up. Then the overall food and Q-pack together will be sizable, better than 24-23, which is now currently, the both of them put together are around 25%. They can even go up to 30%. But again, I want to remind you, our other segments like paint are also growing rapidly. If it is stagnated or growing only at 8 to 10%, the growth would have been considerable in food and FMCG in the overall pie. But last year, the paint and in the paint, we have grown by 34%. So that base is also increasing. That is why the percentage food and FMCG still looks around 24-25%, but the basic number is also growing.
I got the point. My question was more from, you know, like, is the scope for further improvement in EBITDA per kg? Because, you know, given that FNF is almost 80 to 90 rupees per kg. So that can happen only, obviously, our food and FMCG contribution can probably move from, say, 25% to, say, 30 or 35%.
Agreed. I agree with you. The EBITDA margins will improve faster if food and FMCG, or tomorrow our IBM, especially pharma IBM sales, start picking up.
Would you be able to mention our top 5 clients and probably what roughly they contribute to our total sales?
Yeah, top 5 clients contribute almost 60 to 65 or even 70% of our sales. 65 you can say. Asian Paints is the number one. And then we have Castrol. We have Hudson, that is Arun ice cream. Amul may not be in the fifth, it may be sixth or seventh. And then we have Cadbury, Hindustan Lever, sorry. Hindustan Lever would be the second, because now our relation with Hindustan Lever has increased in many products, and we are adding actually some more products in this year. Hindustan Lever will be our number two client, and followed by Castrol, Cadbury, Amul, Hudson.
IML, non-IML volume value contribution for the quarter?
See, IML, as I told in the last quarter also, now it is more or less stagnating. IML and HCL together, we are around 66%, which was 63% in the Q1 last year, and last year, full 12 months, it was 65.28. So, it is more or less at same level. Unless a major shift happens in paint companies in our country, this number will now stagnate around maybe 65, can at the most can grow up to 70 in next couple of years. But again, we are adding IBM products which are non-IML as of today. So that will stagnate somewhere around 65 to 70% is my guess. Unless a major shift is taken by a company like Asian Paints or who contributes sizable to our sales, this number cannot move much.
So 66% in value
term,
right?
Yeah, 66% in value
term.
61.8 in quantity.
Cool. So last question on the CAPEX, right? We have got 250 crore of CAPEX lined up for next 2 years. At peak utilization, how much of sales this total CAPEX can capacity can deliver?
See, as of today, as I said, from 44,000 tons, we are coming to 54,000 tons. But the next growth of another 125 crores investment can take it beyond 70,000 tons is my guess. Because this time we are investing again on tool room and the label manufacturing, more than 25 crores are that, which will be not directly contributing towards the capacity, indirectly though it is contributing. So next 125 crores can add another 15 to 16,000 tons. So probably from 54, we may hit 70,000 tons.
From sales perspective, how much of
sorry?
I was asking from a sales perspective, how much of sales we can clock from 54,000 tons and at 70,000?
Yeah, see, sales means our average sale price today is around 230 rupees per kg. So even if you take at the same 230, the capacity at 70,000 tons will be something around 1600 crores, but assuming 80% max capacity, up to 1200 to 1250 crores turnover is possible.
Got it. Thanks a lot and best luck for coming to.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Karan Batalia from Masek. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, like you mentioned last time that we started to supply our dispensing pumps to Himalaya brand. So how are things shaping out there?
No, not much is going to Himalaya. They were still asking some changes and adopting the new pack design they are coming out with. So the volumes are now not much. Our main suppliers are going to Wipro and another 4-5 cosmetic companies in Bombay and neighboring areas.
Right. And so what kind of capacity expansion are we looking at, you know, for the Asian Paints plants in Mysore and Vizag?
Mysore and Vizag, we are expanding from around 3,500 tons. Let me check. To around, already we have expanded in the last year and kept 5,400 tons per annum at Vizag and 4,000 at Mysore and 4,800 at Vizag. This will be again added probably to 6,300 and 6,000 respectively by end of this year or probably in August, September itself. Some more machines are arriving. These are brownfield expansion. We'll be adding only machinery, not even molds, not even land and building. Building was already built last year to accommodate this expansion. And molds and other paraphernalia are already there. So these two expansions will go on by August itself.
Right. And any update on the sippers? Thank you, that's it, Kumar.
On what?
On sippers. Sipper,
S-I-P-P-E-R. Oh, sippers. No, the sippers, we are now bringing in some couple of them, but no, none of the major brands have given their approval. So we are also waiting on the wings. The moment any of these top brands are interested, we want to launch that.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Last question is from the line of Namish Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Namish, please go ahead with your question. Mr. Namish, please go ahead with your question.
Okay. Audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So I just want to understand our products. I don't have any question. So what is this IBM, EBM and EML? Actually, I have tried to understand but couldn't guess, sir. So if you can just guide me in a layman's, like how, what is the broader difference in these things?
Yeah, see, injection molding is a process where containers without neck, that is a big container like a paint container or a restaurant pack, these are all made of injection molding process. There the mold cost is very high. For example, a 20 liter mold cost for jar and cap will be more than 1 crore, the mold itself. So once the mold is made, you can only make that shape. You can't make any other shape. So investment in injection molding is very high, but you get very good accuracy. Coming to EBM, that is extrusion blow molding, all your shampoo bottles, all your liquid edible oil packs of 1 liter and 2 liter where you have a handle and you have a small neck, these are all made of extrusion blow molding. Here the mold cost is very low, like say 5 to 10 lakhs. And the dimensional accuracy is also very pretty low. But you get different shapes, variety of shapes you can make in that. So products like shampoos and edible oil where more than dimensional accuracy and finish, they look at economics. So they go for extrusion blow molding. The technology between injection molding and EBM is called IBM. That is injection blow molding. In this, the neck part is made of injection molding, and the body part is blown by blow molding process. So the technology is in between IM and EBM. It gives both the advantages, accuracy of the neck for good capping and tamper evidence, and lightweight of blow molding. Because it is blown into a kind of a balloon, the body of the bottle is lighter than a container. So you get the advantages of EBM and also advance of IM. That's why most of the, but there is a limitation. You can't make this beyond 1 liter size. less than 0.5 liter is more typical, maximum 1 liter. So 100 gram, 50 gram, 200 gram, 300 gram, 600 gram, tablet containers, paste, some Vaselines, cosmetics, all these kind of products are used in IBM technology, because there you want a good finish, you want accurate capping, and also average pricing. So that is where IBM comes in. So cosmetic, food and FMCG, and products of pharmaceutical tablets and powders, they all adopt IBM technology. That is where our company is entering. We are leaders in injection molding for last 30 years, and today we are entering into IBM. And EBM is little phasing out of this kind of products because of its not so good looks and very bad dimensional accuracy. So EBM is still there for bigger containers of 1 liter oil, 2 liter oil, or some of the shampoo bottles are still in EBM. They continue to be in EBM because beyond 0.5 liter or 0.8 liter, IBM technology is not still available. So anything above 0.8 liter or 1 liter, they still have to go with EBM technology. That is briefly the three varieties of packaging.
Okay, and sir, one more thing, and what is this IML label?
IML label, that is in-mold label. IML means in-mold label. That is a label made pre-manufactured, and by robotics, the label is kept inside the mold by a robot. And then molten plastic in a liquid form goes into the mold, and it fuses the label to the body. And when the bottle is, or the, when the container is taken out, the label is already fused. So the decoration is completed. So there is no need to do any post-operation like stickering or printing on the container. So that is the most advanced technology using robots. We are the first people to bring it to India more than 10 years ago.
Okay, so I mean, you mean to say, I mean, once you have done this IML label, the manufacturer just has to, I mean, fuse their material in it and nothing else, no stickering, nothing else, correct?
Nothing.
Okay.
And it looks permanently stuck to that, and it looks multicolored printing of world-class finish.
Okay, and sir, this QR coding can be done in IML and IBM both, or just in IML?
No, it is done only on IML. IML can be used in IBM also. So the technology is on the IML itself, not on the bottle.
Okay. Welcome. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thanks, everybody, for participating in the conference and making it successful. Thanks to Nirmal Bang in particular. Thanks, Abhishek, and thanks, coordinators, for your patience. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.